We have Keith from Serenity by the Sea.
Hi, everybody. My name is Keith. I'm an alcoholic. Once again, a nervous alcoholic, but I'm here, you know. See which character defect is acting up why I'm so nervous. But more will be revealed. Tonight, 7, 8, and 9. We humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. It originally said humbly on our knees. You know, Bill wrote the language a little stronger than what we actually were presented with. And humility is defined as the desire to seek and do God's will. You know, that's what humility is defined as. And that's what I want to do. That's what I'm trying to do tonight. I'm trying to be informative and help anybody who has trouble understanding the steps, or if you're new, learn about the steps, my experience with them. Okay? When I was working on the others, you know, I cleared my character defects up in 5, and 6 I became willing. So now I'm asking God to remove them. See, I don't have the power to remove my own defects of character any more than I had the power to remove my obsession for alcohol. I believe, you know, my God did it, you know. I believe in a higher power, my higher power, I choose to call God. But it says clearly in the book, you can choose your own conception of what your higher power is. It doesn't have to be my higher power or whatever you like it to be. And I found, you know, by doing the work that I have a higher power, and he's been in here the whole time. I didn't know it. You know, I was asking my friend one day, where is God? You know, I don't understand. And he pointed at my heart, and he said, he's right there. I was like, what? All the time? I didn't know it. He said, yeah, Keith, he's been there all the time. Why didn't I know it? Because I had all these obstacles, all these blocks, you know? I had all these character defects blocking God out, you know? And what I want to do is to find, you know, find this God and have this open channel with him is to go through this process. You know, they used to say a summary of the 12 steps would be to trust God, clean house, and help others. That's a brief summary, right? And I'm still cleaning house. You know, now I'm starting to look at other people, all right? But going back to 7 first, you know, again, I can't emphasize it enough. I could do all the work to get there. I'm willing enough to ask God to take them from me. Now I got to pray. In the book, the 7-step prayer is very short. It's only but a paragraph, if you don't mind. I can't remember it because I'm nervous. But I will just say it for us. My Creator, I am now willing that you should have all of me, good and bad. I pray that you now remove from me every single defect of character which stands in my way of usefulness to you and my fellows. Grant me strength as I go out from here to do your bidding. Amen. Okay, and I was also told the 7-step prayer is a continuation of the 3-step prayer. So there is no amen after the 3-step prayer, but we have it now. Because in the 3-step prayer, you know, I ask God, you know, turn my will over to God, you know, allow me to be of use to others. And now in the 7-step prayer, having gone through the other steps, now I feel I've cleaned up all these defects of character that stand in my way of my usefulness to you. You know, humility is a little different from humiliation. Humiliation would be like, you know, being arrested by the Malvern police, walking in the middle of the night with a hospital gown on, you know, escaping from a hospital because they threw me out because I was too annoying. And I went out to smoke, and they locked the doors on me, and I had to walk home, you know, with no back, you know, those gowns. And of course, it was in the cold months, fall, and I knew my house was that way, and I had to, you know, Mercy Hospital, right? I had to walk through the woods, and with no direction, no shoes either, but, you know, I had to get home, you know, I had to get home. That's where my alcohol was, you know. See, I went there because I wanted help, but then after they make you wait there for hours and hours, I took my will back. No, you know, I'm all right now, I'm all right. So, no, you can't leave once you're here. So I just continued to annoy him and imitate this guy. And I went out one last time for a cigarette. And when I came to the door to let me in again, I rang the bell and he just went, mm-mm. All right, so, okay, I'll go. And it didn't take me much convincing. And I got called, you know, the Malvern police came by and they said, hey, Keith, what are you doing? You know, we have a good relationship. You know? We're on best terms, you know. They stop by my house all the time on a regular basis, you know, say hello and pick me up, drive me to their home, you know. But, so they know me well. And that's kind of humiliating, yeah, but that's not being humble, you know. I had many experiences like that out there, you know. But the crazy as it sounds, when we talk about insanity in our second step, that's not the insanity they're talking about. They're talking about the insanity that precedes that first drink. It says, like, wow, Keith, you've been arrested, you've been to jail, you lost your wife, you lost your career, you lost so many friends, you lost your money. But you know what? I'll do it different this time. I'm going to have a drink because this time it'll all work out, you know. So I'll do it differently, you know. And that's the insanity, thinking I could drink safely again after going through all of that. And I did do all that. There was a day in my alleyway when I was in the midst of one of my good runs, you know, and my neighbors called the police on me again, you know, and they stopped by and they saw me stumbling around. I wanted to go get something, and they were in my way. As a matter of fact, the captain of the police held the key up to me and says, Keith, if you drive your car, you're going to go away for a long time. Don't drive, go back to bed. I looked at him and I said, okay. Walked in my house. 10 seconds later, I grabbed my other set of keys and I took off. Is that insane or what? I mean, he's telling me. And I did get arrested and I did go to jail. You know, that's insanity. But it's more insane to think I could drink safely after all that. Now, getting to the eighth and ninth step, you know, I have basically most of my eighth step from my fourth step list. This is what I was told and I see it. But there are others I've harmed that did no harm to me. For example, I've been teaching for a lot of years, and actually now I'm retired, and what would happen would be I did pick up, several times during the school year, usually in the fall, October, November, and I'll go to rehab, and I come out 30 days later, whatever it is, 28 days later, and I would take off the rest of the year. You know, so these kids, they missed me, you know. As most alcoholics, I was good at what I did. The kids liked me. I'm somewhat personable. I like to joke around, and I feel I was always a good teacher. And they had, you know, having a sub is not the same as having a really good teacher. Although at times, subs can be even better than the original teacher. But I hurt them, you know. So what can I do to make amends to them? Well, you know, I can't call up everyone I had in school on the phone and say, hi, it's Mr. Marmer, and so much for anonymity. And I'm sorry I left school in the middle of the year because, you know, I can't do that. But, you know, I ask God to help me, you know, to realize my part. And what I do now is I do the best I can with the students I have today. You know, I show up now. I do private teaching, so whenever I have a lesson, I'm there. You know, and I don't just not show up and don't call or whatever and disappear. And, you know, I show up for them now today. That's like, I guess you call living amends, you know. You know, on the top of my list was my parents, my mother and my father. My mother, I talked about once a little bit the first week. You know, she was an alcoholic, a real alcoholic of the severe fall down type. And you know, I had lots of anger towards her. You know, she's top of my resentment list. But I also realized, you know, I never thought of it. It's like, you know what? I hurt her too. You know, I just thought I was always the victim. You know, poor Keith. You know, his mother's drunk. She's beating him again. Poor me. But then I realized I was not a great kid either. You know, I used to act out, like getting arrested, you know, things like that. Your mom didn't really appreciate that too much. Or having been called up to school because I was acting out again. You know, all my character defects, you know, wanted to be noticed, wanted to, you know, be somebody, you know, all that stuff. Or, you know, I was just acting out. And I looked at my part with her, you know, because she used to always torture me, like blaming me for all the drinking. But I didn't buy it at the time. I said, you know, that's your problem. Anyway, and my father and most of my family were top of my amends list, you know, because they're the ones closest to me. They're the ones I hurt the most. They saw my behaviors, my sister especially, because she dealt with the brunt of my alcoholism. My mom passed when I was very young, so, you know, I wasn't alcoholic in the sense of acting out then. And I got sober around the time my father died. So I was actually there for him, and I was sober, and I was able to help, you know, the family out with everything. You know, such a different person I am when I'm sober than from when I'm drinking. You know, like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Keith, you know what I mean? I was definitely a totally different person. So, you know, my sister put up with a lot. When I went to jail, she took over my life, you know, my bills, everything, my house, you know, and she did a lot for me. And, you know, I definitely owed her amends. But my family were very forgiving, you know. She was just happy I was back again to myself. As a matter of fact, Easter Sunday, I had dinner with my family, you know, and I have 2 grandnephews, 2.5 years old, and I'm like a part of their life, you know. My other 2 nephews, I saw them at 6, and now they're graduating college. That's really what it felt like, because I just wasn't around. You know, I had, you know, the sin of omission, you know, things, I wasn't there for them. In writing this list out, though, in doing the 8-step, you know, I was told not to think of the person's reaction when you're writing it. Because if I'm thinking of writing, like an amends to Paulie, you know, for something I did to him, I'm thinking how he's going to get mad at me, he's going to yell at me, he's going to criticize me, he's going to put me down, make me feel really low. So maybe I really don't want to put him on my list, you know. I don't know about that one. Although I was told to be thorough, and I have to include everyone. So I did put people like that on my list. I had one person that he was on my 4-step and my 8-step list. There was this guy named Stan, and I was living in my house in Malvern, and I rented out the main floor of the house, and I was living in the basement. So right there, I should tell you something. I'm living in the basement of my own house. But Stan had knee surgeries and back surgeries, and I picked up, you know, before this, and I was using, and I knew he had, you know, a cabinet full of, like, goodies, you know, like all sorts of drugs. So what I did was I would go upstairs and help myself, you know, take a little this, a little that. He won't notice, right? So I was taking his pills, and I proceeded to do this on a regular basis until he caught on, and then he started locking the doors. So not to be dissuaded, I decide, well, now I'm going to climb through the windows. Because, you know, I know how to break into my own house, you know. If you don't know how to break into your own house, how are you going to break into strangers, you know? So not that I did that either, but... Anyway, so I started going through the windows, and then he started locking the windows. And I'm thinking, what am I going to do? I knew they were in there. You know, I knew I had to get to them. So I remembered on the main floor, there was a bedroom that had a stairway that led to the attic, you know, and that door didn't lock. So now I had to get up to the roof and climb through the window in the attic. The only problem is, you know, they say you go to any lengths to, you know, do this. Well, I found out that the ladder was the length I needed to climb up the window and go into my house. So I actually went down the block. I knocked on my neighbor's door. Can I borrow your ladder? He said, sure. In the middle of summer, walked down the block, put it against the thing, climbed up on the flat roof, crawled into the window, disappeared, came back out 10 minutes later, climbed down the ladder, carrying the ladder back down the block, putting it back on my neighbor's thing. Now, meanwhile, it's summertime, so people are out, they're wondering, what is he doing? You know, I mean, they knew I was rented to these people. Why am I climbing in and out of the attic every day? You know, then I did it again. It was very successful. So, you know, I'm going to stick with it. If it works, you know. So I did it again, knocked on my neighbor's door. I was doing it so often. After a while, I didn't even knock on my neighbor's door. I just went into his garage, opened the door, took the ladder, walked down to the block, climbed through the window, got all the drugs I need, climbed back out of the window, and brought the ladder back and got high. And that, you know, what happened eventually was one day I was a little tired. I didn't feel like getting the ladder. So I went, you know, the shortest distance between 2 points is a straight line. Now I'm a math teacher, so I realized, just go through that door. Oh, it was locked. Well, no problem. Boom. So I break down the door. I break into his apartment. I steal all his pills. And I wake up in a black belt on my neighbor's lawn. And they told me that I robbed this house. I was arrested for burglary, you know, burglary and whatever they call it, breaking an entry or something like that. So I got arrested. You know, I was in a total blackout. And they said I busted through the door. I only know it's because they told me. You know, when I did come to, I saw the door was like broken in half. It was an old wood door. And I broke into his apartment. I was arrested for that. And on it went. But... You know, in the ensuing months, though, after being arrested, he lied. He said I stole $2,500 from him. He didn't pay me rent for 4 months when I was in jail. He was, like, threatening my sister when she came over to take care of the house. This is my resentments, you know. What else did he do? Oh, I had a puppy, a I'll say about a 9-week-old puppy, and he was in the backyard when I was arrested, and this guy never fed this puppy, never gave it water or nothing. You know, how low can you go, right? Only my sister found out about it, and she came over and took him. He was actually going to call someone to take the dog away. He was a beautiful collie, you know, purebred collie. Buddy, he was my buddy. So anyway, I built up my resentments towards him because of what he did. But the whole point in the 9th step is not to look at his part. I have to look at my part. I broke in his house. I stole his drugs. I put his family in fear. Definitely they were afraid that I may come through the door or the window any time at night. So I had a lot of wrongs towards him. And I was told that, you know, I have to make amends to all people, you know, even though I had all these other resentments towards him. And to this day, sometimes they do pop up a little bit, not with the power they used to, thank God. And I had to face him and make amends. And he is in this program, too, actually. And when I went up to make amends, he didn't want to hear it. He just didn't want to hear it. And I tried more than once. And I was told also that if they don't want to accept it, I still did my part, right? I tried. Look, Stan, I'm really sorry. You know, I was out of, like, no, I don't want to hear it. So much for him. But I did attempt to make the amends. And I knew it wasn't easy. Like they say, it's easier. It's harder to go to an enemy than to a friend, you know. You know, I go with my sister. I'm so sorry. Oh, don't worry, Keith. I love you. Just be good, you know. But this one was a little tougher. But there's a message there. You know, there's a point to the story being that, you know, I have to face all people, you know. And I can't look at their part. I have to take care of what they call my side of the street. I have to keep my side of the street clear. And, like, he has his own issues, his own problems, you know. And I said the resentment prayer for him 1,000 times. You know, I have to realize he was also spiritually sick himself, you know. And I asked God, you know, to help me remove all this anger and resentment I had towards him. And it's still a work in progress, because just even bringing it up now, I kind of felt that little agita, you know, because of the wrongs he did me. But anyway, going back, you know, people on my block, you know, I was not noted for my driving skills, to be honest, especially drinking. There was a night I came home, and I was in my house about 2 o'clock, and the Malvern police were at my door again, you know. Keith, can you come out? And I'm like, why? You know, and they go, you hit your neighbor's car. And I said, no, I didn't. What car? I walked out to the block, and there was no cars on the block. And I said, which car? And he pointed to the house across the street, that car. And it was in the driveway. So I must have went in his driveway, hit his car, backed out, hit a tree, a Malvern tree, which I was also had to make amends for, and then drove into my alleyway. And I didn't even know I did it, you know. And another time I backed out of my car. I backed my car out of the driveway, went slamming into my neighbor's car. You know, I did, you know, did some damage driving. And, you know, I used to joke, and I'll talk about it again, my best amends to my neighbors would be to move. You know, just move, Keith. We don't just get out of here, you know. That's the best image you could ever make for us. You know, don't let the door hit you on the way out, you know. There's a nice, you know, nice house in Lynbrook for sale, I saw, you know, all that kind of stuff. But, you know, thank God I'm not drinking anymore and not driving. I'm still driving, but I'm not driving and drinking, that's for sure. And, you know, I drive down a block, and some of them actually wave hello now, you know, which is cool. You know, people that would always just, like, You know how it is when somebody is on to you and have seen me drinking and, you know, falling down drunk, which I was, you know, sleeping on my neighbor's lawns and all that kind of stuff. And then you see someone who knows what, you know, that he knows what I did because I hit his car. But now that, you know, but I went to them and they were all very nice too, you know. They were all like, as long as you're okay. I had nice neighbors, actually. But, you know, you can't have someone driving around playing bumper cars, you know, in the block. But, so I made amends to them all. Those are the first ones I made, and it went very well. You know, I got like a charge out of making these amends because they were so well received. And like, yeah, that worked, so let me try another. You know, I got a little enthusiasm going here. But, you know, as I said with Stan, not everyone's going to be receptive of your amends. They may not care at all, you know. If I owe somebody money, I got to pay them back or come up with a plan to pay them back. I can't just say, gee, I'm very sorry. You know, I was drunk at the time. I didn't know what I was doing, you know. I know I borrowed money, but, you know, don't worry about it. You know, I'm sorry I did it. That should be enough, right? No, I got to pay them back. You know, I got to make complete amends, you know, to them all. And, you know, I faced, you know, the IRS because I decided not to pay taxes for 3 years. I don't know why, but I mean, I guess I just kind of, you know, took those envelopes and threw them in the garbage. You know, that was my system of getting mail, you know. So I went through my entire list, and I tried to make amends to them all, but there's a key part of the 9th step, except when you do so would injure them or others. You know, and I needed a sponsor to go through these. You know, definitely the use of a sponsor is crucial to everything, you know, in sobriety, but especially with these steps, because, you know, he could look at them objectively. I looked at them emotionally to the great part. When I brought, you know, the topic of some of my ex-girlfriends, you know, of course, you know, I was not the ideal boyfriend, you know. You know, I cheated on them. I continually lied to them. You know, I hurt them. I was verbally abusive at times, you know. And, you know, I'm not very proud of the things I did with this girl. I used them, you know, or any women, ones I used for sex or whatever. And I, you know, I was talking about these amends, possible amends, my sponsor. And he said, you know, he looked at Carolyn. He goes, "Well, Keith, you can't go into Carolyn's life now. You haven't seen this girl in I don't know how many years. You can't just knock on the door. Hi, I'm Keith. I'm here to make amends. Please forgive me. I broke your door. I broke your heart. I, you know, I did all these things." He said, "You know, you can't go into the lives of others and disturb everything. You can't do that. You know, I would injure her and her whole family, you know, by doing so." So he said, "I don't think it's a good idea you make that amends." And I was like, "Okay, I'm with you. Thank you. Thank you. There is a God, you know." And that was the toughest one, you know, to face someone like that. And it was the same with my ex-wife, you know, who eventually got married, remarried, you know. And I wasn't to seek her down either and, you know, confess to her all my sins. And because, again, it would be the same thing. I don't want to injure her or her new husband and whatever family she has now, you know, hurt them at their own expense to make me feel better, something like that, you know. To feel better at their expense is the word, though. So that's not the way we do it either, because, you know, I'm not going to make amends and actually hurt people worse than I already did, because I was bad out there. I was a fall-down drunk eventually, you know, and, you know, life was not treating me well, I thought, so I drank. Drinking was my solution from early on, you know. When I felt uncomfortable, I drank. When I was socially nervous, I drank. You know, all those things. To meet girls, I drank. You know, when I felt bad, I drank. But I also, when I felt good, I drank. You know, when I felt good, of course, it was Thursday, I drank. You know, I mean, I didn't really need many reasons to drink. I just drank. But, you know, the point being, though, you know, like that's where alcohol took me. And now I'm going through the process, you know. The first five steps, six, seven steps are basically all about me. You know, 8 and 9 is where I venture out to help others, you know, to talk to others. You know, I have to go reach out to the other people, you know. So when I get to step 8, you know, they say it's the end of isolation, you know, because now I can walk down the block, I can go into CVS, and I don't have to hide behind the, you know, the displays because there's one of my neighbors or the local drugstore, you know. I can walk with my head high because I've made my amends, you know. I did it. You know, I'm guilty as charged, you know. I did it. But today I'm sober, and they could just see it, and they could tell. And they're happy. I mean, even the Malvern police, I made amends with them too. I went down to the precinct, seriously. And I know Sergeant, I don't want to say his name, I went to the sergeant and I said, "Listen, I'm really sorry all the trouble I caused you and everything else, you know, all the times you're at my house and all these things I said and did." And he goes, "That's all right, Keith. You know, crime actually dropped 20% since you stopped drinking." So that's a good enough amends right there, you know. You don't have to stay no more. You keep, you know, we can actually have easy nights now. We don't have to go roaming around the neighborhood looking for you, walking out of hospitals, running out of 7-Eleven, stealing beer from 7-Eleven. I mean, God, you know, the things I did, you know, to get what I needed. But they were really all nice guys. As a matter of fact, I was in my house one night, and I was drinking, and I was in my basement, you know, that was that time. And I don't know, I didn't have a cell phone or it didn't work or something. Oh, it wouldn't work in my basement, that's right. And, you know, I was at that point when I'm drinking so hard and so, you know, I was drinking so much that I couldn't get drunk and I couldn't stop. I was just drinking, you know. I never felt drunk, but, you know, I was probably a blood alcohol level of close to 3 continuously, because I would buy 30 packs and just drink them, you know. When they ran out, I'd go get another one. You know, I wanted help, and so I walked down to the corner, and I dialed 911, you know, and I told them my location, and they came to my house. I said, "I need help. I want, you know, I can't do it." So they drove me to Franklin General Hospital, where I went, and they took me there all nice and everything. And as soon as they gave me something to calm me down, I broke out. I left. You know, I cut out the door. You know, I escaped. But a week later, I'm calling 911 again. I'm calling the police again. You know, I need help. And one of them even said, shouldn't you call like AA or something? I said, nah, you know, I've already been in and out of the program for years now. I knew about that. But I just, you know, I wanted a ride to the hospital. So, yeah, please, no lecture, just take me there, please. So he did. I did it so many times, they eventually said, Keith, we can't continue to drive you to the hospital every other night. All right. He goes, listen, and one of them gave me money for a cab, actually. That's how nice these guys were. So I bought more beer, of course, you know. And I walked, you know. I was falling down. That was not a good decision, you know. It was the hardest mile I ever walked in my life. But, you know, all the crazy things. But, you know, I see them in stores in Malvern because many of them live in the town. I see them in the delis, and they say, hey, how you doing, Keith? And I'm well, you know. How's everything going? And, you know, I tell them, you know, I'm doing good, I'm in the means, blah, blah, blah. You know, I give them the rundown, you know, like they're my father or something, you know. and they were just so happy to see me, you know, being well again, you know. They knew I was just a sick person, thank God, you know. I never got beat up by them. I have nothing but good things to say for them, you know. They tried to get me help many times, but I felt I needed to make amends because I caused a little uproar in the town of Malvern. I know it's their job, but now maybe they'll chase my dog. And instead of chasing me, it's a little bit better. Okay, so I've made all my amends, direct amends to people and places, institutions, IRS, and now, you know, as I said, you know, I can walk freely among others, you know. I feel good about myself again. I no longer have that guilt and remorse that I always carried around about someone or something I did, and I could walk around the world a free man, you know. We have a new freedom and a new happiness, free from all that grief, and I'm happy today because I'm not carrying around all those things that block me from God. Thank you. That's it.